My message for this morning is titled, Lamb or Lion. Long before you guys ever heard me preach, I preached to random things. My dresser got most of it. I spent hours sitting on my bed preaching to my dresser. But many other things got their share too. And the core idea of this message hit me one day as I was working in the yard. Go to Jesus now, and you will find him a lamb to take away your sin. Avoid him now, and when you die, the lion of Judah will find you. I preached my heart out to a pile of logs and pretended they were people. And now I thank God for the opportunity to preach this truth to people. And I hope you listen better than the logs did. May we take this truth home to our hearts and live by it. That was 12 years ago, and I've expanded the subject since then, and I'm actually going to start by establishing the fact that it is important to have a balanced and complete view of God. And with that, I would like to start with prayer. Our Father, I do thank you that we can be here. We thank you for your word, and I just pray that you would help me to express these truths in a way that would take effect in each of our lives. Amen. Matthew 12:1. You can turn there if you want, otherwise I'm just going to read it from my notes. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And I want to bring your attention to verse 7. Jesus tells the Pharisees, If ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. We need to have a balanced view of God. Condemning guiltless people is a grave mistake. And these people were doing it because they had a wrong idea of God. God spoke by the prophet Hosea, and he says in Hosea 6:6, For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. This is a revelation of the nature and the character of God. And now it's notable how Jesus told the Pharisees that understanding this truth about who God is would have corrected their actions. And I am persuaded that this is always the case. Every time you sin, it reveals what you really believe about God. And naturally, the best way to overcome is to correct your view of God. Everything you do, everything you think, and everything you are is a revelation of what you believe about God, because what you believe about God dictates everything you do. These Pharisees saw God as a lion, and it made them act like lions to the people around, because that was the only side of God they knew. If those Pharisees had corrected their belief about God, they would not have condemned guiltless people. And if you correct your view of God, you can overcome sin, fear, doubt, and every fiery dart of the wicked. 1 John 5:4, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. In the Christian suit of armor, faith is our shield. And faith, we're told by the Apostle John, is the victory that overcomes the world. But faith in what? Faith in what? If you don't have a clear and correct view of who God is, how would it be possible to have faith? Is not this the implication of Hebrews 11:6? But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. To have faith in God, you must have an understanding of who God is. And the very, very first concept you must grasp is that God is a rewarder of those who come to Him. No man ever came to the throne of grace with open hands and left with empty hands. If you left the throne of grace empty-handed, it was because you came with closed hands. I can't think of a better way to say it. All I know is that God rewards those who diligently seek Him. God rewards those who diligently seek Him. Now to bring this back to what you believe about God dictating what you do, let me say this. If you don't believe God will reward you, you won't seek Him, will you? And on the other side, if you believe that God will reward you, you will seek Him without delay, and you will do so very diligently. Every time you sin, it reveals what you really believe about God. If you avoid going to God, it reveals that you don't have that faith to believe that He will reward you. And if you do go to Him, it reveals that you do have faith that He will reward you. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If those Pharisees had corrected their belief about God, they would not have condemned guiltless people. And if you correct your view of God, you can overcome sin, doubt, fear, and the fiery darts of the wicked. I'm going to take a minute and go over a few of the fundamental character traits of God that have great ramifications and impact on our life. And for starters, I want to refer back to the verse I started with on mercy. Hosea 6:6. God says, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." Here God tells the Jews He finds more pleasure when they have mercy on a neighbor than when they offer sacrifice. The whole book of Leviticus is dedicated to how and when to offer sacrifices. Yet God says, "I would rather, even above all this, I would rather that you would be merciful people." Be merciful. That is how important it is to God that we are merciful. And the reason this is so important to God is that it's ingrained in His character. It's who He is. God is not asking us to be merciful more than He is Himself. Mercy is one of the foremost traits of the character of God. And if God were not merciful, He could not be a rewarder of any human being. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And if it was not for mercy, this could not be the case. An English officer riding over the battlefield with his servant noticed a wounded enemy soldier. "Give the poor fellow a little drink from the water bottle," he said. And as the servant stooped down, the soldier fired and missed. Stepping back, the servant said, "What should I do now, sir?" "Give him the water all the same," was the noble officer's reply. While we were yet sinners and enemies of God, Christ died for us because God is merciful. And without the cross of Christ, mercy was not possible. Mercy is one of the foremost character traits of God. Yet, if mercy is the only view of God you have, you will abuse mercy. C.H. Spurgeon tells a story. He says, a certain member of that parliament wherein a statute for the relief of the poor was passed was an ardent promoter of that act. He asked his steward when he returned to the country what the people said of the statute. The steward answered that he heard a laboring man say that whereas formerly he worked 6 days in the week, now he would work but four. Which abuse of that provision so affected the pious statesman that he could not refrain from weeping. Lord, thou hast made many provisions in thy word for my support and comfort, and hast promised in my necessities thy supply and protection. But let not my presumption of help from thee cause my neglect of any of those means for my spiritual and temporal preservation which thou hast enjoined. C.H. Spurgeon. We must understand the mercy of God to come to Him. Yet if that's the only view of God we have, we will do things that abuse that mercy. Another character trait of God is love. God is love. Love is so much the character of God, it's one of the few things that we have that is said, God is love. God is love. There's no stronger way to say it than those three words. If God were not love, there would be no hope for mankind. If you have to walk into the office of some government official and you're to ask some favor, you would not have half the confidence as if you were asking your own loving mother or father. Why? Because of this one little factor, love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you would diligently seek after God, you must believe that He loves you. If you don't believe God loves you, you will find no desire to find Him, much less the drive to diligently seek Him. If God were not love, He would not have given us His only Son. And without the cross of Christ, God could not reward any human with anything but eternal hell. God is love, and God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. A certain missionary was working single-handed among the slaves on an island in the West Indies. The planters sneered at or ignored him, but the slaves came to love him dearly. One day, the missionary was quite ill and had been sick for some time owing to the unaccustomed climate. And while he's ill, trying to take care of himself as best he could, suddenly an old Negro appeared with the simple statement, "I's yourn now," he says to the missionary. The Negro converts had been worrying over their missionary's health and loneliness, and unable to care for him because of their tasks that they had to do being slaves. They had each combined the little bits of money that they had, that they had earned through the years by work outside of their hours, and they had bought one of their own number from their master and now presented him to their teacher to be his servant because he was ill and needed someone to care for him lest he died. They sacrificed their individual hopes of freedom to free an aged brother slave that he might care for the man who taught them the meaning of brotherly love. Stories about love move the human heart. But the best story that expresses love melts away as insignificant when we compare it to the love of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is love, and God is a rewarder of them that seek Him. Yet even love can be abused if that is the only view of God that we have. And with that, I want to look at holiness. As I stated already, it's important to have a balanced view of God. We just considered mercy and love. But even if you understand those things, but you don't understand the holiness of God, you're in a dangerous place. We have in Psalm 111, verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever." There are many things about God that make Him worthy to be feared. But without holiness being at the core of who God is, none of those things would mean very much. Without a healthy fear of God, there is no wisdom. And without an understanding of God's holiness, there is no fear of God. There are many people who are not Christians, but they love to believe that God is love because they think the more loving God is, the less trouble they're going to be in. And the real problem with people who think this way is they don't understand the holiness of God. If the Pharisees had understood the mercy of God, they would not have condemned guiltless people. If the world understood the holiness of God, the world would fear Him. What you believe about God dictates how you live. And what you do is a testimony of what you believe. If you focus on one side of the character of God, it will make your life lopsided. If you focus on His love and mercy at the expense of His holiness, you won't have the proper fear for God. And if you focus on His holiness at the expense of His love and mercy, you will do the kind of thing that the Pharisees did and condemn guiltless people. I hope that I have well established that understanding these dynamics of the nature of God is paramount. There are many angles of this. We have holiness and love. We have justice and pardon. We have judgment and mercy. And coming back to the title of my sermon, Jesus is known as both the Lamb of God and the Lion of Judah. And these two names of Jesus contain the full spectrum of the character of God. In Revelation 5, we have the search through heaven. They're searching through heaven to find a man worthy to open the book and release the seven seals of judgment. When no man was found worthy to open the book, John started weeping. And I'm going to start reading in Revelation 5, verse 5. "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been, slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." In verse 5, he is a lion. In verse 6, he is a lamb. He was a lion because he was pouring out the worst judgment this world has ever seen. Yet Jesus Christ, the Lion of Judah, was worthy to open this book because he had first been the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. John 1:29. Jesus came as a lamb at his first coming. He will come as a lion at the next. Jesus refers to himself as a stone, and he says in Matthew 21:44, "For whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." And here we are faced with this decision. Will we bow to Jesus now and accept Him as the Lamb of God to take away our sins? Or will we put it off until we see Him at the judgment seat as the Lion of the tribe of Judah? Will we be broken now, or will we be ground to powder later? You have to see Jesus as a Lamb to believe He will reward you for coming to Him. You have to see Jesus as a Lion to fear Him enough to obey Him. If you don't believe God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, you're not going to fall on Him and be broken. I once saw a man wearing a shirt, and I told this story before, and his shirt said, "I hate God," spelled E-Y-E. And that's the name of a rock band. But to me, God is my only hope. God is my salvation. That man might harden his heart and hate God now, but someday he will be ground to powder. Isaiah 45:23, "I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear." That man might hate God now, but he will someday bow the knee. Psalm 2:12, "Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him." We see through the Bible two completely different ways of relating to Jesus. And these two ways of relating to Jesus are expressed in Jesus appearing as a Lamb and as a Lion. Some find Him a friend and a Savior. Others make Him an enemy and will find Him a judge. Some find Him as a Lamb now and will come with Him when He comes as a Lion to destroy the world. "The Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints to execute judgment upon all and upon all the ungodly and all their ungodly deeds." I know a man who is turned off by the holiness of God. And he says, "If God is that holy, I don't want to serve Him." He pretty much told me one day that he would rather go to hell. "If God can't bear with a little bit of my sin, I'd rather go to hell." That's pretty much what he said. This man has a little bit of an understanding for the holiness of God, but he refuses to see the love of God expressed in the cross of Christ. He sees Jesus as a Lion and hates Him for it, because he refuses to see Him as a Lamb too. How do you relate to Jesus? Make friends with Him now, or He will make you His enemy. What friend can it be said of He never fails? Who else is there that gave His blood to save your soul? Who can it be said of yesterday, today, forever, He's always the same? Of what friend can you say He sticks closer than a brother? I told this story a while ago too, and I'm going to tell it again. A few years ago, there was some bad flooding in Australia. And this story hit the news of a car that was being carried away in the flood, and a rescue team got to the car, but they were not able to take everyone in their little raft that they had or whatever that they were carrying the people to safety in. And a 13-year-old boy said, "Take my little brother first," and stayed there floating down on the car. And before they were able to get back to the car the second time, it was completely swept away and gone. This boy gave his life to save his brother's life. And that's brotherly love. But Jesus is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. If you only know Jesus as the Lion of Judah and the judge of all the earth, you're not likely to love Him. If you only know Jesus as a Lamb, you're not likely to fear Him. To live a balanced Christian life, we need both. We have to grasp both sides of this. Jesus came the first time as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And when He was here that first time, He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If My kingdom were of this world, then would My servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is My kingdom not from hence." When Jesus comes back, his name is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and of that day it's prophesied, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Revelation 19:11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called true, faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come to Christ now while he is a lamb, lest you're forced to meet him later as a lion. Fall on Christ and be broken before you're ground to powder. Come to Christ now and find him a lamb before you're forced to meet him as a lion. Learn to see both sides of the character of God. Learn to know God as love, and learn to know God as holy. How you live is an indication of what you really believe about God. And may God bless us with a good understanding of who he is, because what we believe about God dictates how we live. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for these truths. And I pray that you would give us that clear understanding of your character and your nature. Father, if there's anybody here who struggles to see and understand your love and mercy, Father, give them a glimpse of who you are. That they could truly find that faith to come to you, believing that you will reward them. Father, if there's anyone here who struggles to see you in your holiness, allowing them to live loose lives, Father, give them a glimpse of who you are. That they would find the fear that they need to fear you and obey you. That they would find true wisdom by understanding your holiness. Father, I do believe that each person here has a desire to serve you and love you and follow you. And I just pray that you would pour out spiritual blessings on us. Give us a deep understanding of your character and of your nature. Amen.